It's time for the Carol Cox Show right here at K108. If you have questions or comments for Carol, our number here is 524-1080, 524-1080. And now, here's Carol.
Hey, good morning. Welcome to the Carol Cox Show. A beautiful day here. And we got a lot to talk about. Wanted to start off talking this morning about monk seals. And because we have a time constraint with my guest, Zinan Mien, we're going to talk about that. And, you know, the monk seal is a highly endangered species, marine mammal, found here in Hawaii, only in Hawaii, basically. And we're concerned with the treatment and the handling and the management of it and its well-being and welfare. So I'm going to bring her in and get going because she's on a tight time schedule. Zini, are you there?
Yes, I am. Good morning, Carol.
Hey, good morning. Thank you for calling in and joining in with me. But what's going on with the monk seal? Just recently, you found one out with a hook in its mouth, and I should say that it's still in its mouth, and thanks for alerting me and getting some TV coverage on it. But what is going on? You know this particular monk seal, and you had some concerns.
Yeah, well, as you know, this is not the first seal I find with a hook in its mouth. This is a young female. She was born in 2016 in Turtle Bay, and then she made her way on a different side of the island. She likes to haul out on rocks. I haven't seen her on sand since she left Turtle Bay. And she turned up with a hook. So, you know, I called you, you came over. Noah spoke her piece on TV. And my concern is nothing will happen to a seal. They will not act on a seal as long as they are resting on the rock. Which, you know, I have very little to say because they are not coming across and saying why they're not, other than it's a safety issue. But what exactly it means, a safety issue? Why? Is it to the humans? Is it to the seals? What can happen?
Now, while we were there, we spoke to I'll call her Noah official because she had the Noah shirt on, and she was approaching the monk seals, and in fact, she gave us gave me information, and you were a witness to it, that the monk seal had only been impaled by the hook for about 1 month. Or is that correct? Or she gave us a...
Yeah, that's the other thing I'm really concerned about, and I mean, we had that discussion. So that day, there were three people representing Noah. One of them introduced herself as an official employee, the other two as interns. The other two were under training, and it was clear they did not know what they were doing. And this other official, Noah official, well, even though she was supposed to be there monitoring, she didn't seem to give us a lot of very accurate information, did she? You asked her what kind of hook the seal had. She wasn't unable to tell us. She wasn't unable to tell us whether it had a line. And she provided us the wrong information as to how long that hook had been there. So that's concerning, that the one organization that's supposed to be there to monitor the health of the seal wasn't really knowledgeable. Was she?
Well, she was definitely not, and rather either... Well, she was evasive anyway, but I don't know if it was complete ignorance or what it was. But
yeah.
I'm familiar with information now that suggests she knew exactly what she was doing by providing false information.
Okay. Well, I can't comment on that. I don't have the same.
Here's an example. As you witnessed me asking her, and in her comments, she told me that it's a 2-year-old female, and she was born at Turtle Bay, and Ulma Maili, or whatever the name is, Noah. And then the seal had a hook in his mouth for about 1 month and have not tried to remove it because of possible injury to NOAA personnel. They would like the seal to be on sandy area and not on rocks, and where they could catch it, capture it, and remove the hook. So then later we got an official statement in writing, and basically they say that this is Jolene Lau of NOAA, the PIO officer. RH-48 is a 2-year female, as we had confirmed, on Oahu with a circle hook in the right corner of her mouth. A circle hook now. So that raises some questions there. What is this industry impacting it, or is it a shoreline fisherman? I don't know many shoreline fishermen using or committed to using circle hooks yet. Some do. And she has been hooked since late September 2017. And NOAA volunteers have been closely monitoring her in hopes of being able to safely catch and remove the hook. Now, that's a bald-faced lie compared to what the NOAA official on site said. It was 1 month. And here NOAA is admitting that it was more than 1 month, and that, in fact, since September of 2017. Unfortunately, RHA is seen intermittently, about 1 to 2 times a week lately, and only frequents rocky areas and tide pools that make it unsafe for humans and seals to capture her, so we have not been able to remove the hook. She remains in excellent body nutritional condition, and this is considered a non-life-threatening situation, as there is no apparent swelling or infection from the hook, and the hook does not seem to be impeding her ability to feed or move around. We continue to monitor RH-48 and assess the hook and the feasibility and safety of capturing her. Should she haul out on sand or safe area location, NOAA is prepared to respond immediately. So that's what we got in comparison to what we were told on scene. So who are these people? And
I mean, that night when those news came out, I was having dinner with friends, and as you know, Carol, I also have a Facebook page where I try to educate the public about seals. They had a lot of concerns, and I'm always approached with the same concerns, which are the same ones I have. And I feel that NOAA is not providing visibility and communication. So why is it so risky for the seals when they're on the rock? Why are they not devising a plan? Or what plans do they have? Or are they going to let the seal die? You know, if a seal holds out, let's say this little seal, her condition worsens, are they going to do anything about it or just let her die? How do they know the seal's healthy? Who exactly is monitoring her? Because I haven't seen that many people following her closely. And the people who are there doesn't seem to be that knowledgeable anyway, so I'm not confident.
Well,
there are a series of questions that I believe NOAA should come out and clarify and provide information to the public.
Mm-hmm. Well, they're reluctant, and we're finding NOAA is being more secretive than ever, and the interns that they're using. There's this little game that they have. I've learned bits and pieces about it. Kids from the mainland, they seem to be ignoring the local kids and not recruiting them. They're giving opportunity and stipends of a couple of $1,000s or more to these people that we saw there, and they're hailing from Boston and various other places, and New Jersey and Mass and Minnesota and what have you. No emphasis on the local kids. This is my observation on Kaimi or down at, what's the beach where the baby was born? Kaimana?
Kaimana.
And I'm witnessing, and I'm a recipient of this, I have to say, some very questionable behavior on the part of NOAA. The lying and the withholding information and the lack of transparency and only speaking when it comes to covering their butts, but going away thinking that, okay, 1 month is bad, and then really learning that I've been lied to. And
yes.
And as you observed, you saw that, now if it's a danger to these people, we witnessed, did we not, a monk seal, humongous monk seal, in fact, one of the largest in the colony around here, or that we call it a colony. I call it a colony because they collect themselves in several places. There's one location that many of them congregate, but they're individual, solitary, basically. But what happened is that this young lady went out and took a bleach bottle, a bottle of bleach, and went out and squirted it on the monk seal to mark it. And that is just as dangerous as, and it was in the same area, same terrain, everything.
Yes, and as we both observed, that seal turned around immediately and back at her.
Mm-hmm.
So she could have, when she moved backwards, she could have slipped.
Yeah.
And cracked her head open, because those rocks are slippery and they're very sharp.
Mm-hmm.
So, and I've seen them as well vaccinating seals in that same area.
Mm-hmm.
The same reaction from the seal, you know, turning around and moving and, you know, charging them. I have footage of that.
Mm-hmm.
So that poses a huge risk for the human as well.
Mm-hmm. Well,
so I would just wish transparency and visibility and communication to the society who's actually concerned about the seal.
Mm-hmm.
I think NOAA forgets they are the federal agency and that they can operate because of taxpayers' money.
Mm-hmm.
We all pay these people to do what they do. They have a mission that is publicly available online on NOAA's website. We can all read the mission, which is to protect these animals, to make sure they're safe, to bring them up to a healthy population.
Mm-hmm.
And they're missing gaps in that mission.
Well, I have some serious concerns about what is done with NOAA and this monk seal. My observation and experience is that they don't really assign the important role. This is an endangered species, extremely, highly endangered species, and they're so casual about it. You're likely to, if a monk seal crawls up on, hauls out on the shoreline and has a hook in its mouth, why is there a secret? Why do they treat it with secrecy? I mean, you know, it's immediately they hurry out there, they look at it, and then they put their political spin on it. I don't believe they really appreciate the status of this animal yet. I don't think they realize that is that we're just one door knock from extinction with these species.
Yeah.
That's what.
My concern, as I said, Carol, is what will happen if one is really seriously injured and it's on the rocks? Will NOAA let it die?
Yes.
I want them to come forward and express
mm-hmm.
what the planet.
Mm-hmm.
I really want them to do that.
Well, let me tell you, three fragile little teenage girls or 18, 19, they don't have the nets, they don't have anything, they're just out there. And they're saying, well, if we're closely monitoring this, these are the people that are monitoring. They can't get their lie straight. They are fragile. I mean, very petite. And I don't think, I've been around where you've had to capture monk seal and, you know, dart him. And they can buck like a buck in bronco. And they can throw their weight around. So, the seriousness of it, did you see them monitoring that seal that day?
It was very short. I mean, that wasn't really monitoring. In fact, four other seals arrived and they were playing and interacting. And their, they went straight for them. They forgot about this little one and they just went to see those four ones interacting and playing.
Mm-hmm.
So the monitoring was very short.
Yeah, and
you know, considering she's had it for 5 months, and you know, she could start being lethargic or maybe showing signs that she's not moving normally or breathing normally, and you need to sit down and follow a pattern, you know.
Right, and what, 20 minutes to look at it from afar, and then in turn, you know, maybe you, what would be normal if we obviously know, they claim that they can't tell anything about this monk seal to the public because the public might come and harass, but that's ridiculous because we're there, we know that it's there, right? And so what's the secrecy? So most of the secrecy is about covering their own butts and their ineptness and their unwillingness to place an importance on or assign an importance on this species and the real management. I mean, we give money to an organization, a non-profit organization from NOAA that works with NOAA. I'm rarely seeing them. I don't know the name of it.
They're definitely not monitoring this little thing. Mm-hmm. That's for sure. I've not seen them around.
And, you know, and for those of you out there, if you're in the area and the fishermen, or if you're walking out there, if you see a monk seal, this is in the Miley area, any area, please try and give me a call, 782-6627. Because if NOAA is willing to have teeny boppers, that's what I call them, they maybe have PhDs, but when you lie to me like that, I mean, what's... It's no mistake that one can say that 1 month and when it's actually 5 months, and you're the person that's supposed to be monitoring it, and your agency is telling us that, yeah, we're monitoring on a daily basis. So either she knowingly lied to us, or she does not know what she's doing, and they have not been monitoring this animal. Only two choices.
Yeah, it's quite concerning, to be honest with you. And I get from my friends, people who follow my Facebook, I get the same kind of feedback. You know, mm-hmm. They wish to know more. They wish to understand why they're not doing anything if the seal is on the rock. Why they're so hooked so many times, you know, why they're hiding it. At the end of the day, you know, we all eat fish. We all like to eat fish. There's going to be some collateral. Seals are some of that collateral. So we should all know. There's nothing wrong with it. Well, it is wrong, but you know what I mean.
Oh, yeah.
Communicating it, there's nothing wrong, especially in the era where we live now, where everything gets communicated within seconds.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't understand the secrecy.
Yeah, it's an us and them, and they're what it is. And I must clarify this. This nonsense and this lying and sneaky treatment of the mammals or the animals that we're talking about, the Hawaii monk seal and at the hands of NOAA, didn't just start with the era of Donald Trump. So I don't want any you liberal environmentalists out there going, see, that's what you get for cutting. No, this lying and thieving behavior has been present and prominent, prevalent with other, even under the Obama administration. These folks have been lying about everything and hiding and spending money, giving money to friends and relatives and hiring interns of friends and relatives, and that's what is happening. And so maybe give rise to why a president would say, I want to cut their budget because they're just wasting money. So, anything else?
No, not really. I just really wish that NOAA came forward, gave visibility on exactly why they're not acting on any seal that's hooked or injured on the rock. What the plans are. I mean, is it a strategy they're working on? Have they given up altogether and they're not going to do anything regardless? Are they going to let seals die? And inform the public. They have a beautiful website where I feel there is a lot of lack of information.
Mm-hmm.
As the public who are funding them ought to know. I mean, we have a right to know, and not just having to file FOIA to find information. Mm-hmm. Oh, yes, it's Freedom of Information Act.
And what is your Facebook, because you're coming down in the last couple of minutes, I know you got to go. What is your Facebook?
Yes. It's called Hawaiian Monk Seal.
Okay.
Yes.
Just Hawaiian Monk Seal.
Yes, that's how it's called.
S-E-A-L.
Yes.
Okay, anyone want to contact you, they can send you a message through Messenger.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
Well, thank you for calling in and joining me, and I'll keep you posted of what we learn here, and I hope you safe travels back home.
Yes, thank you so much, Carol, for everything that you do, and yes, let's hope that something good comes out of it.
Okay. Well, thank you, Zini. Zina and Mian.
Thank you.
Okay.
Bye-bye.
Well, we had another caller waiting, but patience is important around here. We don't just try and stop and send us. But feel free to call back. This is the Carol Cox Show. We're talking about the Monk Seal and the management of the Hawaiian Monk Seal. And now, for you people out there that have fragile eardrums and a big heart and can't talk about, I'm witnessing something with NOAA and also with the Department of Land and Natural Resources. Hold that thought. Caller, thank you for calling. Go ahead.
Hey, Brother Cox.
Yes.
I wanted to mention something about you know, the Monk Seal. You know, the Monk Seal. You know, years and years ago, well, years back, I used to dive all of say, Miley, I come up, you know, Uli Alba side, more down by, you know, the comprehensive, but, you know, wherever I get to, I see this old Oriental lady or her husband, they park, they come, and we wave. Again, and they take picture of the seal. There's just no way the seal stay in an isolated place. And they nice people, but they check from Makua. They check on the seal. I talked to her, the Japanese lady, and she said she just come take picture. You get a book or something. You know, I mean, you can tell that they're devoted, but they must be already by now. Because I was years back, 10, 15 years, and they were kind of old, the two couples.
Mm-hmm.
They really do a good checkup on the seal. And I want to tell you, I think the seal get hooked. You know, the kangaroos do kayak line outside.
Mm-hmm.
They make like one, you know, they take them all the way up, maybe a couple of hundred yards. And then they lock them up on high, maybe on big mushroom rock head. And then they hook, you know, like a caca line.
Mm-hmm.
They hook maybe about 10 hook, 5, 15 hook. So the seal, he know about at night time, he can take out the thing with his mouth. He can, but I think when he take them out, he don't know the dollar. And he swim, he snag them on top of his feet.
Right.
And that's how sometimes they think they're a big pool. And then, you know what I mean? Because we used to do that, but... I think I let him let the people know that he carries seal. That I think they're sorry picking up the hook because the seal is smart and he looks just like a guy, human being. He gets his eyes in the front of the head.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
Very unusual. Like I look at one real close, like wow. You know what I mean? Hey, you look like one. To me, he's like one human being with fins on.
Yeah.
I really admire the seal and I. Yeah, and you know what? They make smoky sound there, you know, and you know they don't stay back there, but to make trouble to the seal, she's not so good because the thing came, you know what I mean? He don't bother you. They're like those puppets,
right?
You know, that's the way I feel the seal. He's like good ride him. If he let me ride him, I would enjoy that.
Yeah,
but that's all right. They're so few. That's why.
But I've been out.
I check up with Teledinar. The guys who paddle all on a kayak, they don't want to be snagging, I believe, the seal picking up hook. Because
mm-hmm.
Pretty hard to pick them up if the thing's stuck on the bottom of the hook. That'll be floating the hook up on top.
Yeah,
one way.
I see. Anyway, suspended.
Like, My son, you have to talk. I said, Poco Lenu is teaching me how to talk on the air, but I love you, brother. God bless you. And,
All right.
Good thing what they're doing. Bye-bye.
Thank you. The number is 888-5204, 888-5204. We're talking Monk's Hill. This is the Carol Cox Show. Now, as I began to say, is that the National Marine Fisheries Service was supposed to do a study and an environmental impact assessment or something equivalent that would speak to the shoreline activities and the nearshore fisheries activities that are impacting the Monk Seals. They have taken their sweet time, more than close to 10 years in supposedly delivering this, but still have yet to deliver it. I spoke about it a while back, and it's, you can go back and Google or go to carolcox.com and look at some of the podcasts and see. But the reality is this is an agency. And keep in mind, NOAA is under the National Marine Fisheries Service, or the National Marine Fisheries Service is under housing NOAA. NOAA, National Oceanic and Atmospheric Administration, and Commerce. So here's the problem. And many of you have heard this before, and if you have, then just ignore it. And if you haven't, here it goes. If you're a species, or those species that are likely to interact with fishing activities or commercial fishing, then you are managed by your welfare, your well-being is overseen by NOAA, or the National Marine Fisheries Service. Meaning, if you are a dolphin and you're likely to get involved or interact with a fishing boat, commercial fishing boats, then the NOAA can, the way it's written, and this is one hell of a deal when it comes to this so-called wildlife management and protecting the environment and all of those good things. NOAA flips it on its head and say, well, the dolphin is disturbing the fish, or the fishing activities. So therefore, they have things called incidental take. They will allow, whether it's turtles or whatever, the courts have also spoken to this. So NOAA's purpose is to promote commercial fishing. National Marine Fisheries Service support commercial fishing. So a species that is going to likely interact or impede or cause problems or just being natural or will be managed by NOAA. So that means you get some cockamamie approach to this and you say, well, if it first comes, you must bang on the boat. If the dolphin comes to your commercial gear, you can bang on the boat. Or if it's a monk seal, bang on the boat, make noise. Then at one time you'd say, well, here's some firecrackers. Take the firecracker and throw it in the water, and that should scare them. If that fails, then you can then take lethal force by taking a gun and shooting it. So the question is, and if you were to ask NOAA, well, how many boats do you have here, and how likely is it that you enforce this kind of activities, because you don't have any vessels, and the only person that entity that's going to be able to inspect or enforce this would be the Coast Guard, and the Coast Guard is not going to be actively every day monitoring fishermen. They may have a traveling big ship, what do they call it, buoy tenders and what have you, or they have a patrol that may go out and incidentally, to this patrol, do some fisheries management and enforcement. But, and for all intents and purposes, the NOAA will in fact give a permit to shoot marine mammals. And so that's why they're not so aggressive. We don't, so much is missing or lacking here with NOAA, because they're conflicted. Now, if you take the polar bear, it's a marine mammal, but the U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service handled that. But dolphins go to NOAA. Seals go to NOAA. Walrus go to Fish and Wildlife. It's overseen by that. Turtles, because turtles can get trapped in the net and swallow the fishing hooks and commercial activity. So NOAA says, well, we'll protect that. And that, once again, meaning NOAA can then just write a death certificate for the marine mammal or the marine animal that may inflict or conflict with. When I say conflict, I use it loosely because this is their natural home. Their natural behavior is feeding on marine animals. So when you put fish or bait out in the water, the animal does not know that it's a gift from God or a gift from a fisherman. So, but NOAA, and the entire process is corrupt. NOAA is one of the most corrupted agencies, entities there are in control. If you talk about medical prescriptions and people being controlled by the pharmaceuticals and all that kind of language, then NOAA is the perfect example of government not being real government and having the ability to enforce or willingness to enforce. NOAA is conflicted. NOAA, in many of the occasions where NOAA should do its job, Sierra Club or Earth Justice or someone have to sue on behalf of the animal or the people to get NOAA to do its job or to monitor or do accurate reporting. And so it's no surprise that NOAA would put three teeny boppers, they look like, just very frail-looking people out to manage the Monk's Hill and then say, well, you know, if you see anything, let us know, and we'll send out the big boys, the brawn, you know, the brutes and what have you. But in reality, is that's all a lie. It's a fallacy. It's what is happening is NOAA is killing animals by its actions or inactions. And take, for example, at Molokai. So Molokai, you may remember about a month or 2 months ago, there was a monk seal dead. Someone bashed his head in. Well, NOAA didn't bash the head in of the animal. And NOAA it was reported to them. It was discovered by a citizen, and the citizen reported. But NOAA kept that a secret. Recently, we made a request for another marine mammal death, and the people that discovered it called me and told me they had witnessed it and they discovered it and notified NOAA, and NOAA immediately, and they said it looked like it was freshly killed, it was not decayed or anything, decomposed or anything. And I contacted NOAA, and NOAA told me, well, we can't let you have those pictures because it was in such a state of decay, and if you and we don't want that out in the public. Well, you didn't kill it. I'm only asking evidence and for purpose of story and covering the information on my show and doing a video to talk about it. Well, they denied it. Now, I don't know. I didn't appeal that yet. But there is a number of animals, marine mammals, dying, to include a number of monk seals on Molokai. And so NOAA also is really not being aggressive in its monitoring and investment of time and resources to really do full necropsies on whales. And who's to say that when we find a whale carcass floating, there's no extensive study, especially when they say, well, it was in such a state of decomposition that we couldn't tell. Well, what if it's being struck by boat, by ship? entangled by lying. Who knows? So, if you look, we've had a number of pygmy whales to wash up dead, pilot whales dead. And Noah, the public is left to chase the military or whomever to get this explanation. And when the Lehua poison incident occurred, or when the DLNR poisoned them, they, for killing the rats, you know, and supposedly going to clean all the rats off the island, it was suspected that a number of, a volume of this material got into the marine the waters there of surrounding the island and tide pools and impacted the fish and birds. Now, it makes it difficult, make a hard nut to crack, because they're covering for one another. The DLNR do little or nothing for the resources, and NOAA. And they're not out there to protect the resources. Now, they may give you, and you may have a weak argument with me and them with their explanation, but time and time again, when they say in their press release or official comment on this one out at Miley, is that they've been monitoring it, and they're looking to see, and they being the people that we were talking to on the shoreline, and they were misrepresenting information. They lied. It's only been... the hook has been in the animal only 1 month, but we find out it's been 6 months. Caller, thank you for calling. Go ahead.
Hey, my brother. I got a couple of things to say.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I used to fish on Hakubo a long time.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I tell you, one thing about the dolphin, they bring the fish, you know, the fish stay with them, so we look for dolphins and we look for birds.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm going to tell you, the dolphin, he got to eat too now. Sometimes they cannot find the fish, or they got the fish up, and here we are coming inside of school and we bring the dolphin. If they ever make law like that, take one or two, but on the side of that law, they must say you got to take a moment, eat the dolphin. Hawaiian style, you never shoot one bird. I took a dirty leaking. I will go shoot down the bird with my BB gun. I had to eat the manchito. My father made me pull all of feathers, because you're not going to kill something and you're not going to eat them. They, that's the human law rule.
Mm-hmm.
And I tell you, you know, the goats on top of the car,
mm-hmm.
on top of the mountain behind there. My cousin gave the old aunt, the DNR with the helicopter shooting the goats, falling off the cliff. Why didn't they work 10 hours later? And they could corral them for the hunter. They can shoot them. They can make a pizzicola.
Mm-hmm.
You know, stuff like that. The goats up there, good. Been up there for years. You know what I mean? From when the first time came, you know, for different animals. And they say the things, damaging the roots. And no, they're not going to that place. They're not going to, like, think out of the shrubs, you know what I mean? They get their own hangout there. They're like, I know, but a cliff. But anyway, you cannot tell them nothing, because, you know, that's why they should break down their name so that they can, you know, carry what they know by knowledge, who they are. If they are game on it, they game on it. DNR for officers, whatever, you know, catching people that no more permit for cats, that's their thing. But DNR, this DNR is like a cheap thing of doing everything on island. I remember when good game warriors, they come, they talk to you, they teach you, they pass out papers, you know, man, about how to, you know, what's changing.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, I wanted to tell you that, and another thing is that the dolphin, sometimes they stay eating the fish with you because we get in hard time. A lot of times we help the fishermen, but now, you know, give and take, and that's how it's supposed to be. A dolphin for that thing, and you're going to kill animals. Oh, man, yeah, I'm glad I'm not like that.
Mm-hmm.
I'm more than that hard for just kill an animal that knows so much and how to survive. They travel far, they know. Anyway,
mm-hmm.
love you. Thank you for your...
All righty, brother. Thank you.
Sorry, brother. I knew you right up there, brother, for a long time. You're a wonderful man. Aloha. God bless you.
Aloha. Thank you. Yeah, that's an interesting point, and if I could use some of that to illustrate, I have been fortunate enough to be a patrol boat officer, off the coast of California, enforcing Marine Mammal Act and marine mammal interactions and what have you. And let me tell you, if you're thinking that, well, this is just another activist, just pissing and moaning about things, that's not the case. I have had the privilege of observing some of the worst, the most insulting practices allowed that government could allow. Now, as the gentleman said, we fishermen look for birds to guide them to the fish, or they follow the dolphin. Now, if you've been out on the ocean and you see what we call a meatball, that means that the dolphins have gotten together and herded the fish in a certain way in a school, and the birds on the top, when the fish balling up on and wheeling up on the top, the birds are there. Then the seals and everybody surrounds us. Now, you would think for plenty, but what happens is man comes along. Let's take off Catalina Island, where I've had to go aboard a boat at nighttime and pitch black dark to stop the activities of people shooting sea lions. And the reason they braille the squid, they turn on the lights, they attract the squid, just like the fish ball. And so the sea lions quite naturally see a lot of squid and come in, and that causes the squid to go deeper or disperse. So instead of that process that I was telling you about, we witnessed the gentleman just shooting the sea lions. And it's not a good sight to see, because at nighttime, the diatomaceous earth that glow in the dark in the ocean, you can see them. And so when they hit a monk seal and you're sitting there in the boat and the monk seal is hit, shot, and you're sitting there in the dark on your small patrol boat, just waiting to pounce on the boat to the fishermen, and you see the blood oozing in the water at nighttime because it really action. NOAA then in turn does little or nothing in prosecuting. So it's one big lie. It's a agency that got more intelligence and more documents and more of this, but they have no integrity. And the monk seal is just one aspect of it. You look, their programs are bigoted and racist. When you see the way they treat and their volunteers treat, and like I told you in the story before, one of their observers or volunteers approached and insulted a family of African American family, then told them, "Get your black asses off the beach." So this is a reality, and when you look at NOAA is becoming more whiter. Green is white now at NOAA, and also green is white at DLNR. You look, their chief at DLNR, for example, the law enforcement person, they took a local person, a native person, Tommy Friel, out and put in a white male. Then you look at the deputies and the forestry and wildlife, white male. You look at the makeup of the interns and NOAA, white males and white females. So you would think that this is so-called the host culture. You would think that they would in turn incorporate, and there wouldn't be a whitening of the agencies. It would be more of a rainbow, or including the native people and trusting them, and because they were here when you got here, so clearly they know something about managing the resources. Caller, thank you for calling. Go ahead. Hello. But anyway, so for those of you that have fragile eardrums and a sensitive heart, I wouldn't suggest you continue to listen to this, because the reality is we're losing species. We're spending millions. We're squandering millions. And we're seeing our resources dwindle. And we treat people, as I've shared with you on many occasions, emails and what have you, when the so-called volunteers for NOAA that NOAA recruits and handpicks, instead of dealing with the native people, the local people, in a respectable way, the first thing they do is immediately, I'm going to call the cops on you, and I'm going to call the police on you. And then they'll call the DLNR and says, this person is harassing me, this person is doing this. And this is a volunteer who could be from Oklahoma just last night, never dealt with a person of color, doesn't understand the culture, doesn't bother to understand the culture, you know. And then in turn, NOAA says that it is including all of the cultures because we can better manage this. And that's a bald-faced lie. When you look at the behavior and the consistency and the makeup of their workforce now, and this lack of transparency, anything, when government, I mean, you call up and you ask for a picture of a dead monk seal or a dead pygmy whale or a pilot whale. You just ask for a picture. You're not suggesting that NOAA killed it. You're just saying that it was discovered and you were informed about it, and you were told that the people that discovered it and found it said that they gave you the pictures, and I'm contacting you to ask for a copy of them. It wouldn't impede an investigation. It wouldn't do anything. In fact, it would. What we would use it for is to put it out there and say, have you seen this? Or let's educate the public, use these. But instead, they go into hiding. And the hiring of the top management in NOAA, you got to look at the makeup, and then you'll understand what I'm saying. They're not including native people. They'll include them to doing the hula and what have you and all of that, but in reality, given granting authority, because if they grant authority to a person who's motivated to protect the environment and be honest about it, they think they'll lose control. Caller, thank you for calling. Go ahead with your comment or question.
Hey, brother, sorry for bothering you too much, but I get a few things that I like to
do. Mm-hmm.
I want to tell you that, you know, the monk seal, you know, he's probably drinking. You know, he's dead and fish, you know, rich. When he's swimming around in a day, all fish can follow him behind him, right behind his tail, the collar, the fish. They all stay, the Somali. He cannot really catch them. They all follow him. Wherever he turns, wherever he goes, I see him. Like, they all following him. So they spot, but the seal, he like his red fish, must be spot here. And you know, he's smart him. That's the best thing for him.
Mm-hmm.
That's what he worked hard for you to catch that fish. You know what I mean? That's why he rests in a day, and then he go out, he go dive deep, and you know, like, I tell you, you know, they would do research on the monk seal, and they were kind of figuring out midway this years back. They wanted what that can do? They went wanted to know how a seal feed himself. So they went go put the kind of camera on top of the back. Three seals. You know what they found? They were astonished about this monk seal. Outside the you know, midway or upside down. You know what they do in the night? They go, well, he's now deep dive, 400-500 feet deep. And you know what he do? He eat all the best fish. And you know what they find out behind him? Behind him, get shocks, get all kinds of heaves, the head, so calm, man, for all in that. They're picking up all the stress, and even the victim, Victor Ula, they all eating all the stress, and that's what he do, and that's that seal amongst you. My word is solid. I don't make these things up, it's real. That seal is the head who feed all the other ones down the line.
Mm-hmm.
We kill the puppies, we let them go. We only bring in more sharks. They can get more healthy. They go eat them all out.
Mm-hmm.
In nature, that when times are hard, naturally the population decreases. And just like us, you know, we human beings, when we're not doing good, we make it all, like now, we're not taking care what we should take care of, we don't decrease. And our children, not going to have nothing. We don't get any only carrot and potato. We got all this other nourishment. We got to take care. Thank you, brother.
All righty.
Hello.
Okay. It brings up many aspects of it, but the monk seal, I am extremely surprised that we even have any left since the 90s, because the management of this entire process at the hands of Noah has been one nightmarish, if the truth be told. When I arrived here, there was a declaring that we didn't have any impact on the bird life. And in fact, we would find that there were a lot of birds being killed by the longline fishing line industry. They worked on it. They put scare devices, but it was one hell of a fight to just get NOAA to do its job. Because it only sets the fishing industry up for failure. If you got an agency that has a responsibility of managing it all, but instead it gets politically controlled, and now it's not going to solve the problem, and it's just going to make it difficult for the fishermen, and it's going to be their consequences. And so the fishermen aren't lying about it. It's just that NOAA basically is motivated. They want to be able to boast that we enhance the industry and we're increasing profit, and it's from that. So my thoughts is that given how reckless they can be or how influenced they can be through money and developing the industry, the species that are under their management now, it should be taken. Congress should revisit that and take it all back and say no. If you're enhancing a fishing industry, and that means an industry that with new methods, new techniques of fishing, and that may not have been looked at before, it's their impacts on these species. So you would think that it would be okay to take away the so-called management authority. And it's a misnomer. It's not managing anything. What it is, it's covering up and protecting an industry. And so we have a flourishing swim with dolphin program. They're still waiting to make a decision on that. It's obvious that these dolphins are impacted when they come in near shore. They're resting and sleeping, and the boat's chasing them. Oh, it's cute to have on Facebook. Look at my picture with the dolphin. I went on this dolphin boat. But the reality is, it's all having an impact. And the real assessment, NOAA's not going to really make a true assessment of it. They're going to BS around for the next 10 years if they could and do nothing. So we'll be back in the next hour. This is the Carol Cox Show, and we'll be talking about OIP. It's interesting. There's an article. I had no idea that they would be printing one, but I was going to be talking about that and how OIP, Office of Information Practices, actually can delay things on behalf of the governor so that, or the governor or another agency. It is a state agency, so let's not be fooled that no matter how they present themselves as being ethically motivated, they're not. They're just as evil as anyone else, and it's a sacred responsibility protecting the public's right to public records and what have you. So we'll be back in the next hour. This is the Carol Cox Show, and that's about...
Stay tuned for the second half of the Carol Cox Show right after the news on KWAI Honolulu. K.
Miami. South Beach, bringing the heat. Can y'all feel that? Can y'all feel that? Jig it out. Here I am in the place where I come let go. In Miami, the base and the sunset low. Every day like a Mardi Gras. Everybody party all day. No work, all play, okay? So we sip a little something, leave the rest to spill. Me and Charlie at the bar running up a high bill. Nothing less than ill when we dress to kill. Every time the ladies pass, they be like, can y'all feel me? All ages and races, real sweet faces. Every different nation, Spanish, Asian, Indian, Jamaican, black, white, Cuban, or Asian. I only came for 2 days of playing, but every time I come, I always wind up staying. This the type of town I can spend a few days in. Miami, the city that keeps the roof blazing. Can't feel a drip on the strip. It's a trip. Ladies have dressed full of your quip, and they be screaming out.
We love dress.
So I'm thinking I'ma suit me something hot in this salsa meringue melting pot. Hottest club in the city, and it's right on the beach. Temperature, get to ya, it's about 3-500 degrees in the Caribbean seas with the hot mommies screaming. Every time I come to town, they be spotting me in the drop Bentley. Ain't no stopping me. So cash in your dough and flow to this fashion show. Pound for pound, anywhere you go, yo. Ain't no city in the world like this, and if you ask, I would know I got to clean the bill. But on the snake, Miami bringing heat for real. Y'all don't understand. I've never seen so many Dominican women with sediment tans. Mira, this is the plan. Take a walk on the beach, draw a heart in the sand. Give me your hand. Damn, you look sexy. Let's go to my yacht in the West Keys. Ride my jet skis, lounge under the palm trees. Cause you gotta have cheese for the summer house piece on South Beach. Water so clear, you can see to the bottom. $100,000 cars, everybody got them. Ain't no surprise in the club to see Sly Stallone. Miami, my second home.
Okay, hey, welcome back to the Carol Cox Show at KWAI 1080 AM. If you folk are interested in getting a show here, feel free to call. Give me a call at 782-6627, or if you want to appear on the show, give me a call at the same number. Or go to KWAI1080AM.com and send an email to Barry Wagenvoort and... get you set up there. So available hours are, there's quite a few options you have. So if you are interested and you have an organization that have a need for a radio show, radio time, give us a call. Anyway, we're talking about monk seals and management of the endangered species, and we can go on and on and on, and I think that we probably won't solve much of anything, but because I just believe that the mechanism that's in place now is to simply defraud the public and just basically, and it's the minimum amount of effort there is. Don't step on any toes, don't upset anybody, don't do any strict enforcement because you don't want to impede development. You know, Noah should be concerned with, because you see, Noah was talking about toxoplasmosis being a possible threat, or as Afe said, now it's caused the killing of the death of monk seals. And I'm still waiting to see those necropsy reports and all, but there's a big lie being told. I mean, huge lie. If in fact that is a case, and monk seals can be impacted by sewage spill, and just to give an example, there's a date that go by that we don't find another sewage spill. And just give you an example, and the treatment, and Noah is nowhere to be found, and these are impacts on the animals, because in what's in sewage, and you know, the various chemicals and things that might cause large livers or sexual change or sexual organs, or may impact the monk seal, and as it has been proven to impact fish and other species. But just February 8, 2018, a couple of days ago, the Hawaii Department of Health is warning the public to stay out of sewage contaminated water that has collected in a drainage ditch located in a residential area near Waianae Mall that terminates at the Lu'ulu'ulei Beach Park. Warning signs have been posted on either end of the drainage ditch. The warning signs are posted on the west side of the drainage ditch and in the Lu'ulu'ulei Beach. The public is advised to avoid contact with the water with the drainage ditch, as it is a mixture of sewage and stormwater. The discharge is not believed to have reached coastal waters. You see, this is what can cause a person to have a heart attack. You read this and you're like, what on earth are you talking about? And why the discharge is believed to not reach coastal waters? Doesn't matter. It mixed in a ditch. Where do the ditches lead to? How do you know? And by the way, this is more than 2,000 gallons. It's just, now, mind you now, didn't get sucked up the first day that it happened. It sat there for a day and a half at least. And then they find us in a sucker truck. But you see, there's such a grand conspiracy here against the environment and the people to defraud them by just flat out lying. Why don't they just do their job? I mean, we say, well, we need more taxes to buy more equipment to manage the landfill, manage the sewage treatment plants, and manage this and manage that. And then it comes down to when the you know what hits the fan, they then say, well, we can't tell you about it, and we can't, you know, it's overwhelming us. And it's just one grand lie after the other. And the DOH Clean Water Branch began investigating a sewage spill from a private commercial property located along Farrington Highway across Alapoka Street in Waianae Mall on the 6th of 2018. It is estimated that the spill may have involved more than 10,000 gallons of raw sewage discharge from a damaged sewer pipe. The sewage flowed from the broken lateral into Farrington Highway before collecting in a drainage ditch that ends on Lu'ulu'ulei Beach Park. Now, I got to tell you, once again, you probably say I'm really loose and liberal with my assailing the character of these people and saying they're lying. Now, I contacted the state and said, hey, what about the spill? What is the volume of it? Oh, about 2,000 gallons, and we have to be careful to say even 2000 because it, see what it did, it mixed with other water, you know, water that was in the ditch, contained in the ditch. So we got to be careful. I wouldn't say it was more than 2000. This is what I was told, being, I'm quoting someone. And then I'm in my hand here, I have a document to say not only was it more than 2,000, it was more than 10,000 gallons. So you see, at every turn, every corner, there's a lie. There's some reason, and I don't understand, we're not indicting them to say that they are the ones responsible for dumping it, or and we, you know, infrastructure, pipes break. The high viscosity pressurized clay pipes and this kind of soil and the pressure, we expect sewage spills. But why lie about it? Caller, thank you for calling. Go ahead.
Hey, my brother. I want to tell you about, you know, like the sewage spill. Every time we have big rain, it's easy to let go of a lot of sewage with the rain. Flush them out.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I tell you that, you know, they make so much mistakes, right? I mean, I really like, no, is it human error or is the pipe hole, which I doubt the pipe hole. These people make human mistakes. You know what they gotta do? Every worker come into the plant, they gotta make a big sign and say, today, no mistakes, you know, whatever. Just what I did. Remind them, oh yeah, I gotta check all my gauges, check all my, you know what I mean, where they close valves and whatever they gotta do. Just a big reminder, just like us, when we get up in the morning, oh, we gotta check what I gotta do today. Oh, okay. But when they walk in the plant, you know what I mean, that we should, you know, so that they can be reminded. It's like you know, like when you got stop signs, you know what I mean. So when it says, you know, it's I cannot believe that year after year, mm-hmm. Now getting more worse because you know, the sewage that they take in, they spill it out. You can tell that, you know, like how they guys make the subdivision the main road coming into the country. They don't make the road first. They fill everything, the houses, everything, and then they kind of figure out the road. That's why the traffic in some countries so terrible. So just like that, if the sewage is overwhelmed by the amount of housing, mm-hmm. because the thing cannot handle the backup, so they take time and effort to break the sewage down, so, and they're getting so much coming. So, you know, I don't like to say anything that they're cheating or anything, but I believe that they, on the side, you know what I mean, they're trying to relieve some of the pressure. It's not so good to spill out. Just cannot take it already.
Well,
all the pumps don't get screwed up.
Yeah, well,
so
you're not...
Like that. They don't make the road, they build all of it, and then when all the people move in, they all stop, they don't get back out of the driveway. Same thing,
yeah.
The sewage, you know, they don't develop that sewage plant, they complete, get them all ready, all these things, you know, like all buildings up like that. I tell you, if anything happens, they'll plug up right up to all the top floor. I don't like to say anything. I'm not saying bad, but just using my common sense, it is a kind of the lie. Yeah, they don't tell everything.
Yeah.
And that's all right. I just can't say that. Bye bye.
Thanks. Thank you. Yeah, like I say, if you have fragile eardrums and a big warm heart, that you tend to say, let's be rational about this and be kind in our tone and tenor. Let me just say to you, one of the grandest lies that mankind can witness is the state of Hawaii right now. There is, I mean, we're shocked that and horrified that we could have someone to push a button and the wrong button about the nuclear missile coming. But let's put that aside. When you look at the culture, the climate, the environment here that repeats itself daily. The citizens are lied to, they're overtaxed, they're cheated, they're lied to, they're overtaxed, they're cheated, they're lied to, they're overtaxed. And then those that tend to want to do something find themselves going and trying to deal with an entity that, say, and presents itself as being transparent, and you get people like Ige, who's transparent and talk about educating the public, and it's our government. But you see, what the gentleman said about them releasing sewage. Now, I have gone to the state health department based on information that workers at sewage treatment plants gave me, and they were willing to testify if there was a prosecution. And that is, on rainy days, the city knows that they're not going to be prosecuted by the state, because the state has a hand in the corrupt treatment of the waste and the allowance for spillage and all of that, because they have the last say. And they have that say because they were permitted by the EPA to enforce these laws. So, once again, you know, I keep going back, and you probably say I'm insane, but Donald Trump wasn't too far off the mark, and a lot of this stuff is so cockeyed and such lies and such grand theft against the people is occurring. We should, in fact, get rid of the EPA to some degree, because the EPA, everything that you see, when you see that there's a massive sewage spill, how many do we need before the EPA say to itself, we need to take the authority back from the state, because clearly the state is not enforcing the law and not upholding its bargain, end of the bargain, as we had agreed. We will authorize them under the Clean Water Act and the wastewater and all of those things, but the EPA is complicit in this. And I'm just telling you, you probably think we're doing drugs on a Sunday morning, but I don't do drugs any day, but I'm saying to you, you should be horrified. The nuclear bomb is would have just ended all your misery and you wouldn't have to suffer. But what we're suffering from here is a slow death. I don't know which is worse, because you're getting taxed and insulted, and then when you go out to the parks, there's parking meters, and there's you try to get away from it, the stress there, and all of this. And so it is a fact that the city departments have in the past and continue, when there is a possible heavy rainstorm, why would you sweat it out when you know that your facility down there at Sand Island can't carry the capacity? So why would you be upset or excited if there were sewage spills? And so why then ask yourself, the gentleman talked about the big building down at Kaka'ako, who in their right minds, who in their honest approach to life with some integrity, who would allow the building and the additional taxing of the sewage plant that does not have the capacity to even handle today's or yesterday's amount of waste produced? So there is a grand theft of sort and a humongous lie being told in the way we are handling. And I don't know what it is. I don't know if it's one individual or the culture itself is just the way it has evolved. Maybe there is no help. Maybe there is no individual responsible for it. It's just that things are put in place, and once they're put in place, we get wedded to them or we get committed to them, and it's like a lifelong wedding, a marriage. We're stuck with it. But to leave 10,000 gallons of sewage, raw sewage, in a ditch, and what does this have to do with the Monk's Hill? Well, Thursday, I was there, and Wednesday and Thursday, and this is right near the Monk's Hills and flowing into the ocean, the sewage, and the smell was horrific. You didn't have to look for it. it was there, present, quite prevalent. And didn't the NOAA people were there. I didn't see them bother to make a note. But again, the reason I raise that is that, you see, we talked about toxoplasmosis being impossible because cats, their fecal matter. Well, what about human beings spilling 10,000 gallons here, 20,000 gallons here, a million gallons here, and Monk's Hill's in the immediate area, and they swim and feed in it? What then is NOAA concerned with? Why isn't NOAA filing legal actions against the city and against the state for the unlawful take, because this of monk seals and other endangered species or protected species? Because if you are putting this in the water and it's your activities to keep it out and it's a Clean Water Act violation, what about these animals that are being impacted? So it's one big circle of liars and cheats. That's what's steering the government, and they come on and they retire or what have you. I don't know if it's an individual. But the system, the way it's so flawed that you can't make head or tail, you can't discern what's guiding or what's steering or what's pushing or what's propelling this massive lying machine. And you can go all out and buy all the organic vegetables you want to. You can wear all the sun protective blocks you want to. You can do all of that. But at the end of the day, when you go to recreate or when you go to breathe the air, you're smelling foul odors from sewage treatment plants. You're swimming in sewage treated water. You're contaminated water. You're just on and on and on. And again, we have the Environmental Protection Agency, the United States EPA. We have NOAA. We have the DLNR. We have the Coast Guard. We have all of these agencies. And if you want to think about a man pushing a button just for a drill, unfortunately it happened, and causing panic. But the real panic, you should really be concerned. The treatment of solid waste, if you notice, you might notice some slowdown. And many of you have gone to the convenience centers and you found that the convenience centers were closed. Well, the reason they're closed is that the city and county of Honolulu, remember they spent millions, and I don't know how many millions, I would say almost $1 billion, to put in this third boiler at H Power Plant. Remember that? It was touted as being the magic pill. It was going to resolve all of our ailments and woes that we have as it relates to solid waste. Now, I'm not saying disrespect to people in city council, disrespect Caldwell and those people, but let's take a look at it. These are people that rose above everyone else and say, we can manage your problems. You paid me a salary. I'm going to run for it because we want better. Well, okay, I'm not questioning their integrity, but how is it that you can have this H Power, the third boiler that you put up there, and then all of that money was spent on it? And what if I told you in the last 2 weeks they've all failed? Now, then remember now, they've also told you, and the Kirk Caldwell and the others in the city council, well, we're not going to put a landfill. There's no need for a landfill anywhere else. And remember I said, as long as human beings are breathing, eating, and lying, you're going to need a landfill? Well, we reduced the landfill intake, delivery of waste to the landfill, and that's going to extend the life of the landfill at the Waimanalo Gulch landfill. And we should be ashamed of ourselves. This is somewhat quoting them, that we would put these landfills and waste generating plants or processing plants in the minority neighborhood, so to speak, of the most native Hawaiians. That's just stroking and lying to people and insulting them even worse. The H power plant, when it's down, where does the trash go? To the landfill. So they reduced the landfill intake to about 400 ton a day. Take a minus. But when the H power is closed, they're putting 1,600 to 1,700 ton per day. And then they were allowing only one truck to dump at one time, and then they expanded to allow four trucks to dump, so you get a 2-hour, 3-hour, 4-hour wait. So that's a backup. So that means that if there's a 1 or 2 hours or 3 hour backup, that means the truck from the convenience center that leaves the convenience center and delivers to the landfill or to H Power, but not H Power is closed, the landfill, then you got to wait up there for 2 hours. So imagine why you as a citizen can't go to a convenience center and be able to dump and predict, you know, go, and you're taking your chances, basically. Now, they won't allow any public to go up there. Today was, they say they may allow public to do drop-offs at the landfill today if they got things working, but I doubt it. I didn't check before I came to the studio. But all of that, it's costing money, and they're going to raise our taxes again. Nothing is working because they don't want it to work. Caller, thank you for calling. Go ahead with your comments, question.
Yeah, you know what I was going to say about the, yeah, you know, the landfill, you know, like they get you know, right down here by Kalihi, collect all the kind of rubbish can burn. They throw me inside, and that big silver truck, this beautiful big truck, they drive it down H plant, and they make electric, and then supposed to be the ashes that they get from that, they spread them over the landfill in Waimanalo, down Nanakuri. But it seems like now they're burying them. I wonder what they're spreading on the top of the of what they're burying. You know, they put so much torn layer of the soil. So much. I don't know where to get in that soil from, what kind of dirt, but whatever, if the landfill is still open. So I don't know about that thing, but that's the way the thing's supposed to run.
Okay.
Yeah, I want to let you know. Thank you. You're good
right.
Show, but you always get good show.
All right.
You know what, brother? I'm going to tell you that, you know, you get that on profit, you and Pokalai Nui. You guys going to just keep talking. Yeah, got it, but they're not doing nothing. They don't realize that, yeah. We blessed because we don't want that away. We don't want to kind of stuff yet, but no matter, because we gotta take care of our island. We're not taking care now. When if we do get it, then we deserve it. Good one.
Alrighty.
Okay.
Thank you.
We don't like that happen. And like you say, I'm not talking bad about any legislature guy. We all human beings. But if I can think a bit good, it should be better.
Thank you. Well, you know, this is a poison tongue sermon here, I guess. One could deduce or draw the conclusion. But for me, it's the greatest insult that you could do when you take people's money and then you lie to them and you cheat them, and then you lie to them again and you cheat them. And then when they call in and look for transparency, you lie to them again and you cheat them. I'm sorry. The show isn't about me. And the show, if your mind is going, boy, he's really harsh. Well, just take it this way. I have seen everything, and I can tell you things could work so easily only if we had honest people. If people that started out and follow their mantra that they were working for the people to make things better, it would be better. But what you have here is a factory of thievery, lying to the people from the federal level all the way down as it relates to the environment. And I'm sure you can draw parallels to other agencies, but I'm here to tell you that the H power plant, as the gentleman says, you know, they say, well, we're going to shrink the need and reduce the need for a landfill. Ladies and gentlemen, you will always need a landfill unless someone gets in the government, or Kurt Caldwell, or some of, or whoever, the Reimanor, or any of those city council people decide to run for government, run for higher office and become the managers, and they too then will get in the cycle of lies. Because first of all, if you set up the three boilers and you say that the H power is going to be the answer to our every problem in managing waste, well, first of all, it's the dumbest process there is, because what, when we burn something, what goes up comes down in the environment. And I don't care how many scrubbers they put on and how what the percentage of dioxins and furans being emitted and the mercury and all of that being emitted in the air, it's still going into the environment, going into the ocean, settling into the upper, rising to the upper jet streams, being transmitted around the planet. And then we talk about in our fancy ways, oh, let's talk about climate control, and let's talk about global warming. Donald Trump is, and the Republicans, they don't believe in global warming, and they say it isn't. Well, hell, we believe in it, but we don't do anything. We lie. I'm here. I'm a Democrat. I sit by and watch the Democrats. May not, they may believe in it religiously that global warming is a reality, but they don't act like it is a reality. They don't act like their actions or behavior is contributing to global warming. They just keep lying. So what's the difference? Actually, which is worse? But the H power, when they say, well, we're going to reduce the need for a landfill, the H power, when it burns the trash, it generates ash. And only the geniuses of the world know what that ash contains. And where does that ash go? It goes to the landfill. And yes, if you talk to them, they are so slick, they'll tell you, oh, no, it's not going to the landfill as you think. It's going to its separate own land, own area. It's being dumped in a specific area. Look, it's still ash. It still has all the constituents of concern, the cadmium, nickel, and mercury, and lead, and all of those other things, and God only knows what else. And it's just being dumped up there. And the scrap metal is taken out, that's burned and sold, but the rest of the ash. So does that suggest that you can listen to them promise that we won't need a landfill? See, this is the kind of lies that they perpetuate or perpetrate on you. And each time now, the city isn't managing the landfill. They hire someone, waste management, to manage the landfill. The city doesn't manage H power. As they say, it's a golden bullet, it's a silver bullet, it's the magic pill to all of our woes in waste management. Covanta, or Resources, another company, a sister company or whatever, manages the H power plant. If you want to know, then there's that $16 million photovoltaic building that's just sitting there with a gaping hole in the roof that was supposed to be done, and that the defaulting on the contract and what have you. That's not up and going. But EPA set it up that way so that they can have. So that's why I say the EPA, NOAA, DLNR, all of them, if you've witness a bank robbery and there was a getaway car, the EPA would be driving it, NOAA would be the passenger carrying the gun, DLNR would be holding the money, and the state health department will be responsible for public relations and lying. That's what you have. If you think I'm lying to you or I'm falsifying this information or being too harsh, unless we start to grab at these things and understand them, I don't care. You can file all kinds of lawsuits. You can say, well, this organization is going to sue them. It does not matter. There is consent decrees already, and they still ignore those, and they lie, and they steal, and they dump, and then you got to go back and follow an action and challenge them in court. See, it's a game. And so when we see all of this, and we then go, now, when I first started this effort to try and bring light to all of these bad behaviors and practices in the environment here in Hawaii, you could walk in and you can, without obstruction, you could knock on the door and say, I'm here, I'd like to look at some records, and they would give you the records. Then, all of a sudden, we get Neil Abercrombie in, and it became the slickeroo. It was, well, who are you and what do you want these documents for? Well, I don't have to tell you that, and you don't have a right to be asking me that. That's none of your business. Well, the law says that you can come in and in any regular work day and normal work business hours and look at records, and they must make available an area for viewing and you're making copies. The law does not say they must make copies, but in the old days, you might get occasional someone would say, well, I got to charge you $5 for this for finding and researching, but you know, we'll waive the fees, and which would have been a nickel page or something like that. Then all of a sudden, in this Abercrombie era, and this is a liberal Abercrombie now. This is the guy who works for the little man and gonna do everything and take care of the little man, and you know, because the big man robs him blind. And then in that, I start to see, during his administration, secrecy, withholding documents, lying, failure to post and do executive orders, lifting the restrictions on environmental and zoning and all of that. Remember that era where we recovered a document that had not been posted on his website like he normally posts executive orders and whatever? It wasn't. Then the PLDC and all of that came out of his administration. So today what we have, the OIP is just serving that getaway car that I described. The Office of Information Practices is complicit in this whole process too, because if the government lied to you and say there's only 2,000 gallons in there and you try to get a copy to read exactly what happened, you got to call the OIP. They'll sit on it, depending on if it's politically harmful to IGE or whoever's in office or whoever they favor. Case in point, I file a request where we know that Suzanne Case, during the era of Tommy Friel, Suzanne Case, we know these to be facts. And Suzanne Case, there was a position open. They selected one officer. That officer was told within a few days or less than a day that he did not have the job because someone else would get it, because there was someone else is related and has friendship to people in the governor's office. Suzanne Case then wrote a letter telling Tommy Friel to do this and do that and put this guy in the position, the current manager. Those documents exist. I made that request more than a year ago, 2 years ago, going on 2 years. And what happens? OIP knows that it's going to be bad on the governor and Suzanne Case because this is his appointee. So OIP sits there hovering as if nothing's going on. I've told you about the, I think, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10 truckers that were, what we believe, based on the evidence that we recovered and all, that at Radford High School, they were wrongfully accused because they were given dirt that the Department of Education and the Navy and the State Health Department knew that it was contaminated, but they allowed the management of the construction site to just go ahead and operate without telling them as well. And these are documents that we have, and we've talked about this, Radford. If you want to confirm what I'm saying, go to carolcox.com and look up Radford High School and contaminants and all. And you remember that school, Makalapa, right next door to it, the elementary school where the playground has iron and stickers and nails and glass and cement where the kids play on the playground, and there's contamination there. If you go there now, you'll still see it sitting there on the surface. And David Ige and those guys said, oh, we're going to do something about that. Nothing was done. God only knows how many kids have gotten sickened from that, because many of the kids that are involved are transported back to the mainland or reassigned, because many of them are military families. So the Office of Information, that today's paper, there was why I was going to talk about it, was that bill that was introduced. But it says the bill tackles lag by state open records agency. They have one view of it, but I'm here to tell you that Office of Information Practices is as complicit and as corrupt, because all they have to do is just drag their feet, and then now they're saying we don't have enough money, enough coverage. No, it's real simple. We're not asking you to reinvent the wheel. We're just saying that person has a will, and we want to know how he paid for it. Did he use state money, government money? Did he use federal monies? Whether it, you know, or how much did he pay for it? That's all we want to know. We don't want the agency, the OIP, to go back and look to see if a will was invented or what is a will. We already know that. We want to know the particulars to see if the public's interest was preserved or protected. So when the sewage spills, when the agriculture department lies to you, and there's an issue with who's spraying what chemicals, and if Ige is aggressively with his Scott Enright, who is trying to build a better agricultural kingdom, does not want to disclose information about what chemicals are being used, what lands are being granted, what trades off are being in, what slaughterhouse is being, the contract is being given to someone else, and the person that had the early contract not paying for it for the rental. We want to know that kind of information. So OIP doesn't, it's no struggle. They don't need an army of people. It's real simple. Does this or does this not? Are we asking, is this a reasonable request? Does this request frustrate the agency's actions? If the agency has done it and it was 2 years ago, then why should we be having to appeal? It's real clear. If I state to the OIP, look, I'm requesting documents on a matter that was already decided on. There is no debate, deliverance or anything. It's just a matter of it's in the file and I want to see it. But all of a sudden, the agency says, well, no, it might frustrate the process, the decision-making process, and so now I got to go and appeal. This bill should be amended to say that not only 6 months, but there become criminal punishment or consequences for any public official to knowingly hinder or impede the release of information to the public. And I think that would expedite, that would, you wouldn't have to hear or read the Kakazoo Park, Cheryl Kakazoo Park's whining little explanation as to they don't have enough money, and they oppose the proposed requirement to have 6 months deadline placed on the delivery of information. So let me lay it out to you real simple. So if you have agencies that have the ability to tax you, to take your resources and tax you more, and then to lie to you, and then when you don't trust what's being said and you want to decide for yourself, you make a request for that information, and you know there are lies upon lies stacked on one another, and this agency then takes that information and mulls over it, what's to say that that agency can't be political or won't be political? And so there's many of things. That's why when the public file complaints with the Ethics Commission, they should act on them, give them a credible investigation and reception. Not whine that we don't have enough people. If we had some people, no, if we had more people, it'll be a bigger screw job that you give the public. That's all it is. It's increasing the life. Put the burden on the government officials. If you lie to the public, if you knowingly make it a felony, you don't need any money. Information will flow clearly. Now, we can go civilly and file an action, but who has the money? No, make it illegal for a government official to lie to the public or knowingly withhold information and impeding public records requests. And then I believe policy, because you can go into any state office and you'll find the policy is varied. You go to the Agriculture Department, they have one way. You go to the Health Department, they have another way. They go to DLNR, they have a way. You understand? So there's no respect for the system. That's what the problem is. The process. They don't need money. She whining that she need money and said that the agency opposes a proposed six-month deadline for dealing with the public inquiries unless the lawmakers provide more funding. More funding. Like some big baby sitting there going, more funding. I'll stop crying if you give me money. You know, if we give them any more money, and this is honestly, I've made many, many, many OIP requests. And it has gotten down to the point now where it's just criminal behavior, the way they behave. Because if you read the law, there is a law in Hawaii that states specifically, you don't even have to put it in writing for OIP requests. It simply states a person make a verbal request is a formal request. Now we've gotten down to, well, you must put it in writing, and then you must put it on a form, and then put it on the form. You must then wait until they call you back, so that it automatically defrauds the public of being having an access to walk in, as the law states, to walk in the office and ask to be able to view records, and those records be made available to you. That's what OIP should be enforcing. That's what OIP should hold the agencies to, that strict rule of the practices. So, but if one agency lies, the theory is now, the approach now is that we need another agency to prop up the lie. And then we need another agency to prop up that lie. And then at the end of the day is that they all proclaim they need more money. If you gave them more money, things will be better. They'll fix it. But you don't notice them improving or making concessions or coming to the public and committing to and signing declarations that say, yes, I know that if I lie to the public, if I'm found out, I agree that I should be punished. You don't need any more money. You just need some integrity and some real true commitment to the public's interest and safeguarding that. That's what you need. Because I can tell you, one agency after the other, they have repeated themselves with nonsense. Carla, go ahead with your comments or question.
Hey, brother, thanks for letting me come on the radio. You know, I want to tell you that, like the big boat they made from Ojita Island, what a waste on that on money, you know? The state, they should put them in a newspaper too, certain programs, how much if they made money. Or they lost money. I know you can go down like here or go look, but majority of the people who get time to go down there go look when they come home work. You know, if they was on it, do those things. And I never used to vote until this president told me, and that made me think. You know, and I vote. You know what he said? He said, if you think like that, you're gonna get all crooks. He said. We vote, at least one or two good people gonna be in there. That right there gonna hit. The rest they're not gonna be hard for them big crooks. But they're like on football team. But football team ain't gonna play good if they play bad, good guys, bad guys. Gonna be all good or all bad. Either they good or they bad. But you know what he's talking, and I stay with you. But we're not talking bad about anybody. But we know what we're saying. We're not low. Okay,
all right. Okay, thank you. Yeah, well, no, we're not crazy. You got that one right. But the reality is they think we are. And for some of you, those that are out there that are sitting there, guys, when you go to each little stream now, it smells like caca. It has paint. It has oil. It has crud in it. These are the last vestiges of that resembles an environment. We've paved over everything. And even the little ditches with three or four endangered species, you go there to Sears in Pearl City and walk there and look at the little stream, you'll find three Gallinu struggling, just holding on. And they breed, and then their babies are pushed out. And then we tolerate grease and oil and water, polluted water, to be dumped in there. And yet we declare, send more money. If we had more money, we could hire more people. And more people means that we can provide more protection. It's all one big lie, ladies and gentlemen. Honestly, if you want to talk more about this, feel free to call me at carolcox.com. Go there, website, or 782-6627. And we need to take back this dialogue, because you've lost. Your voice has been taken. You might think you're in control, but I'm here to tell you some of the most sophisticated methods of lying and cheating you that one could ever devise is being perpetrated on you right now. Your sewers are overflowing, big buildings are going up, and it's like taking away from everything. The parks are overcrowded. We're making lots of money on tourism, but where's the money? Where does the money go for tourism? What is the limit? What is the carrying capacity? What are we dealing with? All of that. So I think that you might want to look at the state of Hawaii as a business for some people and a hellhole for others. So we'll see you next week, and thank you for joining me, and we'll talk to you later. This is Carol Cox. Go to KWAI1080AM.com and listen to some of the post shows or earlier shows, and we'll talk to you again. Aloha.
Up in the morning. Out on the job. I work like the devil for my pay. I know that a lucky old son has nothing to do roll around heaven all day. With my woman, and I've toiled with my kids. I sweat till I'm wrinkled and gray. I know that lucky old son has nothing to do but roll around heaven all day. Dear Lord above, don't you see I'm pining? I got tears all in my eyes. Why don't you send down that cloud with the silver lining? Lift me up to paradise.
This has been the Carol Cox Show, heard every Sundays at 9 a.m. on K108. Tune in again next week, Sunday at 9 a.m. to the Carol Cox Show on 1080 a.m. KWAI, Honolulu.